Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm so darn glad to be with you. I don't know what to do, and I know you're pretty excited too, aren't you? I love doing this. I love talking to you. I love talking to about small businesses, about your small business, about my small business, and all the millions of other small businesses out there. And I've dedicated my life, ladies and gentlemen, for the last 9+ years, almost 10 years, I've dedicated my life to helping small business owners have the maximum opportunity to be successful, which especially includes helping them not fail, helping them succeed and continue to grow. And I'm going to remind you of something I told you a few weeks ago, and that is some of the most recent research that the Office of Advocacy at the SBA has done on business survival. As small business survival, and ladies and gentlemen, the news is not good. What's happened is 10 years ago, or maybe even 6 or 7 years ago, 50% of businesses failed in the first 5 years. Now, that was a standard that was true for a long time. It was a record. It was true for a long time. But the most recent information that I've gotten from Chad Moutre over at the Office of Advocacy, the chief economist over there, he does a great job, is that 50% of small businesses today, most recently, are failing in 4 years. That's a 20% acceleration in the failure rate. Ladies and gentlemen, if anything else had a 20% acceleration, if cancer or car wrecks or plane crashes or teenage delinquency or whatever had a 20% increase in that short a period of time, Congress would be meeting overnight. Heads would roll. People would be upset. Billions of dollars would be spent to try to find out why and to fix it, and laws would be passed. We have to fix this. We have to help these people. This can't happen. But when it happens to small businesses, it basically, I'm probably the only person who's told you about this. And it really troubles me that we've got this kind of a condition in small business, and I think I know why. I think I know why the rate of failure has accelerated. There has been a considerable increase, and the SBA predicted and projected this as well, that there would be a significant increase in business ownership in this decade over, say, the last couple of decades. And that's a good thing. I predicted it myself. I started talking about this in 98. I started predicting that the 21st century would be the century of the entrepreneur. There are a lot of reasons why this century has been such, in many ways, a good century so far for entrepreneurs. But at the same time, the increase of, anytime you have an increase of participants, then it's natural, it's logical, you're going to have an increase in failures. That's one reason. Another reason is because more and more people are going into small business without being prepared. They're going into it for a number of reasons. Sometimes they're going into it like I did back in 89 when I started my small business the first time, when I started my consulting business, which is what I did before what I'm doing now. I had been downsized twice in 18 months, two different companies, no fault of my own. It just was one of those things. I'd been a good employee for 23 years, and I decided to start my own business. Now, the difference between me and some people who start small business was because I had a lot of business background. Now, I didn't know everything I needed to know. I made a lot of mistakes, but I had a pretty good bit of business background. I had been a manager. I'd been an executive for companies. I'd managed budgets. I'd managed P&Ls for the companies I worked for. So I understood a little bit about what it took. I'd also worked for one or two small businesses, relatively small. But a lot of people who are starting businesses these days and in the last several years have been people who were employees without having not been a manager or whatever, and they didn't have the business acumen that they needed. They didn't understand about the accounting system. They didn't understand about cash flow. They didn't understand the impact that time has on the financial aspect of their business, and how the time that it takes to collect money is different from the time that it takes to pay your money to the people you buy things from. They don't understand that element, which we've talked about in weeks past as I've continued my little fundamental segments that I've been doing for the last few weeks now, and that I'm going to continue to do. So I think because of that, a lot of people didn't have that kind of background, they started a business thinking it was easy, thinking, you know, if I know how to buy and sell as a consumer, then, you know, how much more difficult can it be? I know people who own businesses, they're not very smart. If they can do it, I can do it. Well, that's the wrong attitude. That can be a professionally fatal attitude. There are a lot of things that you have to be able to do. And as I said, I think earlier in the week, you don't wake up one morning and decide you want to be a brain surgeon that day and start operating that afternoon. You have to go to school. You have to train. You have to study. You have to understand the fundamentals. And it's the same thing with small business. And so I encourage you, ladies and gentlemen, if you're thinking about being a small business owner, if you're out there, if you're one of those, as according to the Global Entrepreneurial Monitor, 1 in 12 American employees is actively considering starting a small business. Now, I think all the other 11 are thinking about it, but they're not actively pursuing a small business. But 1 in 12 are actively pursuing it and probably will start a business in the next 12 months or so. If that's you, or if you have already started your business and you're in the early days of it and you're having, you know, whatever kind of success you're having, I really hope that you will take the time to think about what you're doing and to realize that this is a profession that has rules, that has fundamentals, that has practices that are required, that has knowledge that you need, information that you need to know about, basic elements, basic fundamentals that must be adhered to, and that if you do those things, if you do adhere to those fundamentals, you significantly increase your opportunity for success. When we come back, I want to talk about some of those. We'll do that right after these messages. It's 20 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll be right back. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I think that's Booker T and the MGs. I don't know. It's Junior Walker. That's what my crack research team reminds me. It's Junior Walker. That's right. I get those two a little bit confused. Junior Walker. I like both of them, though. Welcome back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you use it to your advantage. I hope it's something that you will use and that will help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. There is no barrier to entry there, so check it out when you get a chance and use it to your advantage. Folks, I actually want to come back and talk about a little bit more about a fundamental that I mentioned yesterday. I'm talking about management fundamentals, and these fundamentals that I'm talking to you about that I'm doing for over the next several weeks. I have been for a couple of weeks, and I'm doing for the next several weeks. These are the things that I believe will help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful and to keep you off of the business obituaries, keep you out of the business obituaries. That's my goal, is to keep you out of the obituaries. And if I can do that, then I've helped a lot. And then you can take that and build on it. And yesterday I was talking about, was it yesterday or Monday? I forgot. One day this week, I guess it was. I think it was Monday. I was talking about the importance of outsourcing and why you need to realize that outsourcing is a good thing. It's the best thing that ever happened to small business, in my opinion. And I want to come back to this a little bit more, because I really want to encourage you to think about about the two elements of outsourcing, the internal and the external. The internal, as I said earlier this week, the internal is where you have core competencies that only you and your organization can do. And then you have things that are not your core competencies, that are not the things that you do for a living. They're not things that you deliver to your customers. And those are things that there are other people who are better at than you and maybe can do it more efficiently than you and can take those things off of your plate. And so you don't have to manage them. You can just manage the contractor, manage the vendor. It's happening all the time. It's an incredible, it's one of the reasons the economy is doing so well, folks, is because we got people doing the things that they do well, and we've let other people do the things that we don't do well, that they do well. And that's all part of outsourcing, and that's the reason why I think outsourcing is not a bad word. I think outsourcing is a wonderful word. And I'll remind you about the Blasting Game outsourcing question: must this be done in-house? And if the answer is yes, that means you need to find somebody who can do it for you. Now, I didn't spend as much time the other day on our customers, asking your customers that question. That's the external use of outsourcing. And that's where it's sort of part of, it's either your entire business model or it's part of your business model. And here's an example of how it would be part of your business model. If you have customers let's say you're delivering a product to them, and for the last 20 years you've been delivering it and dropping it off on their back dock. Well, so how would you become vertically integrated into that company? How could you become more of a vendor partner? How could you become an outsource resource for them? Here's how you do it. I want to make sure that when that customer has an opportunity to go with a competitor, The reason why they go is not just about price. And here's how you fix that. Instead of dropping off the product at the dock and having their person come out and receive it and check it in and distribute it and move it around inside the building and that sort of thing, what if you went to that customer and you said, you know, Bill, we've been dropping our stuff off at your dock for the last 20 years, the last 2 years or whatever. What if we brought the stuff inside? So here's my question to you. Is it necessary for your people, your in-house people, to receive the stuff and bring it inside? Is that something that's really important to you? And if not, how would it help you if my people not only delivered it, but they brought it in and put it on your shelves and maybe even distributed it all the way into the users in your operation? Now, folks, this is just one example. You know, think of your own. Think of different ways that you could do what I'm talking about. So then what you've done is you've asked the customer, must this be done in-house? Now, if they say no, it doesn't have to be done by my people, that's an opportunity for you. Now, and they say, well, how would that work? And you say, well, I'm going to have my guys bring it all the way in. All you have to do is show them where you want it. You and I will come up with a system to make sure that you know you're getting what you pay for. And that way, that could free up some of your people to do other things. And then the customer will say, so is this going to cost me more? And you're going to say, no, it's not going to cost you more, but there is something I want you to do for me. I want you to sign a 2-year agreement with me that I'll be your vendor for whatever it is that you sell. And they say, really, all I have to do is make a commitment to you and I can have one of my employees go do something else? I can spend that payroll money somewhere else? And you say, absolutely. So now, for just a little more time by your people, you got a commitment, a long-term commitment from a customer. And it cost you a little bit more of their time, but you know what? I bet they had some time they could spare. And you got a long-term customer. You just became, ladies and gentlemen, you just became an outsourced resource and a vertically integrated vendor partner. And that is the key to your success, ladies and gentlemen, in the 21st century. And you heard it right here on the Small Business Advocate Show. Renee Schaff is going to be with us when we come back after these messages. And she's bringing along a new friend, Jim Albertson. Stay with us, 29 after. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.